This is Radha Sudaniti class. We're starting a new verse, 156, which describes, several verses describe this idea. The Radha loves her mandaris. How much Radharani loves her mandaris. So we begin. Lulita Navangodara Karpura Puram Priyatamukachandra Girna Tambula Kandam Gana Pulaka Kapola Swadyanti Marasyer Arpayatu Kimapi Tasi Vatsila Kari Radha. So this verse I read again. Lulita Navan Lavangodhara Karpura Puram Priyatama Mukachandra Girna Tambula Kandam Ganapulaka Kapola Swalyanti Madasir Arpayatu Kimapidasi Vatsila Karhi Radha. Translation. Already chewed, full of fresh cloves and lots of kaffir, coming from the moon-like face of her beloved Krishna. Oh, those pieces of betel nuts. Radharani's cheeks are erupting with small, tiny bumps of sheer joy. It's called pulaka. Romancha, we sing Guru's glories. Romancha kampa sutaranga bhajo. So this romancha kampa. Pulaka means this haripilation. Sometimes it's not a very good phrase. What they say in English, goosebumps. Like when you go to Mangalartik and a dog comes up behind you, ha ha, and all of a sudden you feel your hair stands on end and there's all bumps on your skin, your scalp gets tight. So this is pulaka. So Radharani's kapola is, her cheeks are erupting in bumps of sheer joy. Tasting and tasting it herself, will she ever offer some into my mouth? Indescribable Radha, who is so affectionate to her mandaris. Another translation we have here, we can read this one also. When will indescribable Radha, who is affectionate to her maidservants, and whose cheeks are adorned with thrill bumps of bliss, give me the betel nuts mixed with the lovely fresh cloves and lots of kaffir that came out of her lover's moon-like mouth. Radharani will personally put that prasadi pan into my mouth after she relishes it herself. So he's saying, Karhi, Kada, Kave, when will that amazing time come? Because it's been a long time since anyone spoon-fed us. When was the last time someone spoon-fed you? Well, for me, it was about 65 years ago. Or 65 and a half years ago. Spoon-feeding means your mother takes the food and puts it in your mouth with a small spoon. Baby, even it's a baby spoon for a baby mouth. She takes the applesauce and she puts it. So that's very intimate, to the mother's intimacy and love and care for nourishing her child. So this is what's being told. In essence, the verse is about prasadi. And the theme of the verse is Radha's love for her mate, mandaris. Radharani receives the tambul from Krishna's mouth, she relishes it, then she gives it to the mandaris. This is basically what's going on here. It's one seva being described, tambul bhatika seva, the offering of tambul, which are very refreshing and refreshing, digestive, tasty, invigorating spices, betel nuts mixed with different spices wrapped in a pan leaf. It's called pan, or betel nuts. It's a very big service. So the first point of this verse that I find is that Radha's sweet the sweet oneness of Priya and Priyatam, Priya Radharani and her Priyatam, our most dearly beloved Krishna. And this verse, of course, describes the height of intimacy and the height of Madhurya Rati, where Radha and Krishna are together in the Kunja. So we have some points here that describes the intimate loving exchanges in Madhurya Rati between Radha and Shyam. And where is the Manjari? That most fortunate Manjari is sitting right there, watching everything. She's watching Krishna, relishing the tambul that Lalita Sakhi gave him, that betel nuts and pan he's chewing and relishing. And then the Manjari is watching Krishna embrace Radharani, then he kisses Radharani, and he directly puts that pan into Radharani's mouth, from his loving heart and mouth to her loving mouth and heart. His prem, his Radha prem, is being offered in the tambul to Radharani, and she's receiving it with her mahabhav, prema shraya. Ashraya means the recipient, the reservoir, the recipient of the one who directs the love. But Radharani is a reservoir of all Krishna's love, and she's the source of all Krishna's love, mahabhav. So this is a very nice, and the Manjari is watching and at the same time relishing and enjoying this wonderful exchange of intimacy between Priya Priyatam. And she's also very alert. Oh, where is my service? Maybe some juice, tambal juice, betel juice drips down Radharani's chin and drips down from her lips, and she doesn't want it to do that. So then I'm immediately there with a small moist cloth, very soft cloth, and I daub her lips, as she doesn't want to at this juncture or whatever, or she wants it. Then I have to know, does she want the pan, some pan dripping on her lips, or does she want to remove it? That the Manjaris know exactly what Radharani wants. This is the meaning of the first class sevite or servant. Radharani's are the Manjaris are Radharani's kinkaris, they're her maidservants. They know exactly what she needs and wants at every second before she can even has to express it. This is the perfection of seva, and that's the Manjaris. So the expertly prepared, this Lalita Sakhi, her Nitya Seva, is preparing this pan very expertly. And how expertly she prepared it, because I mentioned there's the Seva Vichara, Manjari's Seva Vichara, the questions that go into the Leela and into the, when you approach your meditation in your Manjari's Srup, then you'll think, where am I going for Seva? Who am I going to serve? As I mentioned, sometimes you'll be, where am I going? I'm going to Nandagram. This is a review. And I'm going with the Sakhis, and we're going to cook Krishna's breakfast. And when I get there, and then who will I serve? Well, it may not necessarily be directly Radharani at first, or even Krishna. Because when I get there, then Yashoda says, oh, Manjari, very good, you've come here. Oh, Sadaka Manjari, or whatever. Please, you go into the storeroom and you bring out all the nice cooking vessels and all the spoons for cooking. Yes, Mother Yashoda. So who will I serve? Where will I serve? Who will I serve? Then how will I serve? And why, etc. We covered these points. So here, what is this? What? Where are we? We're in the Kunja. Who is there? Radha and Krishna. And perhaps some Priyanarama Sakhis like Lalita, Vishaka, Rupa Rati Manjari, other Manjaris, are there in a very confidential, private, Nibrita Nikunj setting with Radha Govinda Yuga, Priya Priyatam. And Lalita, so how will I serve at that moment? Just so the service is rendered here, because sometimes the Manjaris will do that service. Maybe she has done that service, but generally this would be also done, of course, by Lalita. So how is that? So this service is offering tambul. Well, how is it prepared? So Sripad Prabodhananda Saraswati, in his Sarupa Vesh as a Manjari, he's prepared it. He's thinking, I've offered it. and my Manjari Srup absorption, I've made this tumble for the pleasure of Krishna and ultimately Radharani. And then how have I made it? So then he describes, this is how, well, how did you make that tumble? Well, let me describe. Someone might ask, how did you make that pond for Bhagavan Sri Krishna, for Thakurji in the temple? What did you put in it? What was there? Oh, what does the verse say? It says, Lavang Udhara. It says, Lavang Udhara Karpurapuram. Pan always means certain essential ingredients. Always there's flaked. There's flaked, it's called flaked betel nuts. You can see, if you've ever been a pujari, there's a special cutting tool for betel nuts. Betel nuts are very hard. And they grow on a tree that looks like a palm tree. They're growing them there in Mayapur. At least they were 10 years ago when I was last there. And the twin brothers, they would make this, they're making every day this tambal bhatika for Radha Madhav Yugal, for Radha Madhav Yugal Sarkar Radha Madhav. And I was seeing, and I've also seen before, how they prepare it. So the nut is very, very hard. You may have some familiarity with something called nutmeg. There's something, I don't know what you call it. It's called mace, M-A-C-E, mace. And it's a very pungent spice that's used in preparing sweets. Mace, nutmeg, I don't know what you call it in your country. It's very hard, but they, in milk preparations and milk sweets, you have to grind it on a stone to get some powder. It's harder than a rock. Maybe you don't have that. Maybe that's an Indian thing. Anyway, betel's like that. So they have this. This looks like a pair of pliers. It has a round angled blade on it. And you hold a nut and cut it, and it cuts flakes off of it. It cuts very thin flakes. Very thin, like corn flakes. Very thin flakes. So every tumble, every pond will have betel nuts there. At least this is how it's prepared for Bhagavan, Thakurji. And then it will be wrapped in a pond leaf. There's betel nuts and there's pond leaf. Pond leaf is different from betel. Betel grows on a tree and it has something like a palm leaf. It looks like a palm tree. So there's betel nuts, and pond is something else that grows in, I don't know, some type of plant. So that's inside. And then what is, that's the essential ingredients. And what you mix depends on the season. So then the question comes in, okay, you're a manjari, what is your seva? Making pond. Well, how will you make it? Well, it depends on when. Remember? Who, what, when, where? All these questions are always there, going on. When am I going to make this pond? Is it winter? Is it summer? Is it spring? And where is this pond going to be consumed? Is it going to be consumed by Krishna in his house? By Krishna with his coward boyfriends? Or Krishna at the Rasa dance? Or Krishna when he's with Radharani? Many questions, you see. Because there's different types of pond, there's different kinds of spices and different kinds of ingredients to create invigorating pond, relaxing pond, stimulating pond, digestive pond. If I'm making tumble pond or tumble bhatika that will be given to Krishna after his breakfast, then obviously I won't be giving him pond, aphrodisiac pond. If you understand. I'll be giving him pan to digestive pan. Something like Kropati Goli. There's a herb, a goli. Goli means a round object, goli. At least one meaning in Hindi. So when you go to Indians' houses and they stuff you with Mahaprasadam up to the neck, Akantapuriya, your neck is completely full. Then they say, oh, I can't digest. You fed me so much Mahaprasadam. Oh, don't worry. We have the solution. And they give you this round ball. It's about as big as a child's marble. You know, marbles, kids shoot these marbles, little round, not really marbles, they're glass. They're glass balls. That's how they call them that. And it's about that size. And it's all full of hing and black salt and ikadasi salt and black pepper and pipali and lots of pepper, lots of salt, lots of herbs and spices that digest ghee and sweets and puris and kachoris and all these things that no one's eating for Kartik. Maybe not. So that he said, what's the name of it? And they say, Crorepati Goli. Crorepati. In other words, Crorepatis are millionaires and they eat like millionaires and they need to digest their food. So now you're going to make, for after Krishna's breakfast, you're going to make Crorepati Tambul. You're going to make special tambul for digestion of food. So like this. So it's the verse is telling, what kind of tambul did Sripad make? It had lots of lavang and karpur puram. It says lavangodhara, karpur puram. And lavangodhara, odhara means, it was very beautiful. And it says very beautiful. And puram means om puna panamidam. It means full. So it was that pond was completely packed, completely full of kaffir, karpur, and lavang. Lavang means cloves. You know cloves? And usually when you make tambul pan or bhatika, you close the pan leaves, you fold it in a triangular shape, which is comfortable, convenient for chewing, and then you close it with a lavang. It's like a pin. It's a closer, clove. You know this. So, but inside this one was lots of cloves and lots of... So it's a very interesting combination because karpur is cooling and lavang is heating. So what is the circumstance? I can't understand. Krishna has to... He wants to cool down. That pan was made by Sripad because, I'm putting the camphor in here to cool down Krishna. Because he's overheated due to his intense infatuation and love for Radharani. But then I know that Krishna will relish this pan, this bhoga, and then he will give his pan prasadi to Radharani. So I'm going to put some lavang in there also, which is heating, because that will inspire Radharani and she will become more heated up about Krishna. This is an idea we can think. But so this is a specific type of pan. So the verse is about pan and a specific type and what happens to it, then it describes. So it says that line one describes Lulita Navalavangara Karpura Puram. Line one describes the object which is offered in seva. Because what do we have in any given meditation in Raghunuga Bhakti? You have the Vibhavalamban, which is Premashraya, and the Prem Vishaya. Then you have the place and circumstances, that's Udipan. And then you have another Alamban, the Sevite. The Sevite is the Sadakadasi, or the Mantri. And then you have the setting, the place, and the time, and the particular Leela. And then the Seva, and the objects of Seva. So this is it. All these are the elements of meditation, and of aspiration, and prayer. When will I do the Seva? In this circumstance, at this time, in this place. So this verse and most verses that have this. So first we have to consider what is the object being offered here? And you visualize it or try to understand. That's why these verses, they're like huge magnets. Every verse of Rasa Shastra, because we're following Raghunuga Bhakti, because we have some rag, we have some ruchi, whatever we have, each one of us. If we're endeavoring on the path of rag. So then the books that we're advised to read and mold our meditations around, Radharasudaniti, which is very interesting how it's described. It says that, and this is clear because the Bhagavad Mahatmyam describes, Srimad Bhagavatam is a very personal form of Krishna. And we already told in Bhagavad Mahatmyam, the first canto is Krishna's feet and the second canto is legs, etc. So the personal, the sarupa of Krishna is the Srimad Bhagavatam. And the sarupa of Radharani is the sarupa of Radharani, the personal form of Radharani is Radharas Sudha Nidhi. And Anantadas Panditji, Srila Anantadas from here, he says that these books go together. Krishna Karnamrita is Krishna, and Radharas Sudaniti is Radharani. So you read Krishna Karnamrita, and you read Radharas Sudaniti, then you have Radha and Krishna Yoga. Very nice. So this is Urja Vrata. This is the month of Urjeshwari. This is Deepavali, when Radharani goes and offers her ghee lamps with all of her. Everyone meets over there. We wrote a small article on our Facebook about that. Deepavali, Radha and Krishna's Deepavali. And today we'll put on Govardhan, Radha and Krishna's Govardhan, Anukut Utsav. So this is described here. So now we already described. This is the Nitya Seva. It's expertly prepared tambal. That's the first line. Well, where is this tambal going and who is going to receive it? And how will they receive it? And what will they do with it? Well, everything in this line is going to Radha and Krishna. I missed the point. I was saying that these verses from these Rasa Shastras, I got sidetracked, like Radharasa Sudhanidhi, Stavavali, Stavamala, Sankalpa Kalpajrum, etc. They are like strong magnets for the Raganuga Sadhak. When he studies these verses about the Manjris and about Krishna and Radharani and their Nitya Seva and the particular Kunjas or Rasastali or Navan or anywhere, and the elements are there, Radha and Krishna, the Manjri, the Seva, the objects of Seva, the emotions, the exchange, many things. So consequently, these verses, they act as very powerful, like super magnets. Everything nowadays is super, super glue, super me and super you. Super glue. Everything is super, except birth, death, and old age and disease. That's not too super. That's not superfluous either. It's real time. You can't say it's superfluous. It's super, but not superfluous. At any rate, these verses are very strong magnets. And so in our consciousness, the Raganugiya Sadaka, because he has ruchi and attraction, he's reading these books. These are the sama substance of his meditation and his bhajan. These are his bhajan manuals, his handbooks of devotional service, his handbooks of Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti, the books by Raghunath Das Goswami and all the wonderful commentaries that have been given to us. And the books by Rupa Goswami and Vishnu Chakravarti, Narottam Das Thakur. These are all sources of inspiration and attachment. So when we read the verse, then they pull our mind like a strong magnet. Our mind, our heart, and our intelligence are like iron filings, loha kankan, small particles of iron. You know, iron and magnets, they... In Hindi they say chumba. It's a very interesting point, which we've discussed many times, you've probably heard before. But the word for kiss is chumba. Have you heard this word? Maybe you sing every day. Muhus chumbitam bimba rakta darame manasya virastam alam lakshalabhe. Who's getting muhus chumbitam? Krishna's cheeks are getting kissed over and over again by Yashoda. This is Damodarastakam. You sing, no? Muhus chumbitam. Chumbi. It's, even you say the word chu, you get C-U in Hindi or Sanskrit is C-H. C-U is like chu. So to say the word chu, it's like chu. isn't it? So chumbita. So chumbita means kiss. And kiss means that the beloved and the lover come together. The beloved child and the loving mother come together. And she smothers the child with kisses. When Nandalal and Yashodananda Nandalal returns from Uttaragoshta Leela in the evening time, around 6 o'clock in the evening, all the Goduli is in Krishna's hair and all the dust of Vrindavan and so many things and Krishna has lotus flowers hanging over his ears. He picked them fresh when he left Manasi Ganga. But after the long walk home, back through Yavat or back through Barsana, depending on where Radharani is. If Radharani is in Barsana, then the long walk goes through Barsana. Barsani Wali Radhi. Or if Radharani is in Yavat, which she is now, she's in Yavat, then the long walk takes Krishna through Yavat. And we are hearing today that every city or every ancient town was set up. There is the city, then there's the boundary wall around the city, the gates of Jayapur. You go to Kamvan, there's called Dig Gate and this gate and Holy Gate. You go to Mathura to do some work. Oh, that shop is near Holy Gate or near Dig Gate. Mathura had wall around it and gates to protect the citizens, security. So Barsana has a huge wall around the entire Barsana, and there's gates. Yavatgram has a huge wall around the entire precincts of Yavat, and there's gates in the four directions. Purvadwara means eastern gate, western gate, north, south. Nandagram has a huge boundary wall like China. You've heard of China, the Great Wall of China. They had a wall around their whole country. 50 feet high wall, when it's like 53,000 kilometers long. I mean, they were really into security because they didn't know about the Mahamantra. We have, devotees have no walls around them. Maybe they have some psychological walls. Everybody has their psychological shells, psychic shells surrounding their ego. Hey, don't get too close. That's another point. So now, when Radharani's in Yavat, he brings all the, Balaram already knows the route back home. So he goes, at this point, usually all the coward boys are behind the cows. But when Krishna's returning, when they go out, all the cows are in front and all the boys are behind. And you read in Govinda Lilamrita how the cows are turning back their necks, not to look for their calves, to look at Krishna. Because the cow, mother cows have more attraction for Krishna than they do for their newborn baby calves. So they're turning around. Krishna, are you still behind us? Are you coming with us? So that's Gocharan Lila, going out for cowherding. But when Krishna returns, Uttara Goshta Lila, returning with the cows, then there's a different configuration, which is unusual. Because always, everywhere, at all times, the gopas go behind the... There's Gaya and Gopa, cow and gopas. Because they have to keep an eye out. Just like, where does the husband walk in Vedic culture? He walks in front of the woman. It's different. And she walks behind. And that's why she wears ankle belts. So he keeps track of her. Otherwise, she might run away. So the cow, when they return, Uttara Goshta Lila, all the cows are in front of the boys. And then Krishna indicates to Balaram, we're getting near Yavat, we're getting near Barsana. And Balaram says, okay boys, let's go. We should go in front of the cows now, because they may get lost, so they'll just follow us, everybody. So all the coward boys, all thousands and lakhs of coward boys, and Balaram, and Gobhatta, and Mandali Bhadra, and Vajrasena, and all the coward boys, they go in front of the cows, Uttara Goshta Lila. So then there's all these coward boys. Then there's the cows. Then who's behind the cows? The Priyanarma Sakas, Subal Saka, and Madamangal the Brahmin, quote-unquote Brahmin, and then Sridham. And I'm not sure of Sridham, but Subal for sure, and Krishna, Govinda. Why? Because he'll go to Yavat, and he won't just pass by the outer of the boundary wall, because the road goes like this. The footpath, there's one footpath that comes from Manasikang and Govardhan and goes straight to Yavat. Then from Yavat you go left and go to Nandagram. There's another footpath that comes from Manasikang and Govardhan and goes straight to Barsana and up to Nandagram. Krishna's village is very conveniently located. Krishna lives between the two villages that Radharani lives in. 3 months she lives in Barsana, and 3 months she lives here, and 3 months she lives here, and Krishna lives right in the middle. So that's the principle. The lover always meets the beloved halfway. So wherever Radharani is, she goes from if Krishna wants to, Barsana to Nandagram is the same distance as Yavat to Nandagram. It's roughly. So when Krishna goes, all the cows and boys, they go to the wall around Yavat. They don't stop there. They could just go to the wall, and there's a ring road around the boundary wall, because you have to connect all the entry gates, right? There's four entry gates. and a big wall, and inside is Yavatpur, and all the Mandris live there, and all the Sakis live there, and Abhimanyu, and Kutila, and Jatila, and so many residents of Yavatpur, the city of the village of Yavat. So then, when you get there to any wall, you can just go on the ring road and go over to Nandagram. But Krishna goes, deliberately goes, comes in the eastern gate like the rising sun. Krishna Surya Sama Mayahaya Andhakara. The motto for the BTG is Krishna Surya Sama Mayahaya Andhakara. In English that translates, Godhead is light. Nescience is darkness. Where there is Godhead, there is no nescience. It's a verse, translation from a verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Krishna Surya Sama. Krishna is the sun of Krishna, the pure, bright rays of prema, premamshu. So Krishna goes to the eastern gate. He enters right into Yavatpur. Radharani, here we are. Here I am. Because if he's outside the boundary wall, then there's a whole boundary wall. There's already so many boundaries between Radha and Krishna. There's Jatila, there's Abhimanyu, there's Kutila, there's the other superiors and seniors. So now Krishna marches right through the eastern gate. He doesn't have to at all. With all the lakhs of cows and all the coward boys preceding him. And he goes right by Radharani's palace, just underneath her window. And Radharani's like, wow. And then Radharani comes down and they meet on the roadway. It's all described. So this is a nice meditation. Back to the verse. So this pan, this very nice pan, is prepared and given to Krishna. So it says, Priyatama Mukha Chandrod Girna Tambula Kandam, which translates as this Priyatam, that Radharani's beloved Priyatam, he accepts this tambul kandam. Kandam means pack, this tambul pack. And then he chews it, he enjoys it, then it comes out, girna. He passes it out of his mukachandra, his moon-like mouth. Priyata mukachandra, udgirna tambula kandam. Udgirna tambula. That tambul, he chews it, and then that tambul, udgirna, means comes out. Comes out. Where does it come out? It comes out into Radharani's mouth. So here, Radharani's beloved, Sripada is describing him, Krishna as Priyatam, which means Radharani's dearly, dearly beloved, her sweetest of sweethearts. But then it's Mukha Chandra. So it's not in the commentary, but maybe, I don't know, can't say. But that commentary is mostly about the Leela, which we'll read. But why is Krishna called Mukha Chandra? So there's an explanation. Krishna is described as Radharani's Priyatam, dearest lover, Radhika's sweetheart. From Krishna's moon face, Mukha means face, and Chandra means moon. So why is Sripad describing Krishna's face as Mukha Chandra? This is part of the magnetic quality of the verses. I said these verses are magnetic. They attract our intelligence to meditate and think about what it all means. They attract our mind to feel it and enter into it and will to be there, thinking, feeling, and willing. They attract our mind. They create thoughts in our mind. They create will and desire in our mind. They create feelings in our mind and heart. That's one magnetic, that's what they pull us that way. But then the verses also attract our intelligence, our discrimination, our analytical facilities, and our comparing and contrasting and understanding why this and why that. The philosopher lives with the question, why? So devotees should, of course, they naturally are philosophers. Ordinary people, materialistic, samsaric people, this question they never ask. They ask who did, what happened, who did it, when did it happen, where it happened. That's all. That's the sum and substance of every news broadcast, podcast, whatever they have everywhere. But why? Why did it happen? What is the karan? What is the karan? What is the cause? So there's two causes, naimittika karan and udapan, the efficient, the immediate cause. Mr. Smith hit Mr. Jones on the head with a hammer. So who hit Mr. Jones? Mr. Smith? Or whatever. But that's the immediate cause. Oh, I got hit, he did it. So that's called naimittik, right now, occasional, immediate, now time. But what is the cause of the cause? Udapan, upadan, it's called upadan, upadan karan. What is the actual cause? My karma, my punyafal, my papafal. This is my papa karma, punyafal. So then Krishna is telling in Brahma Samhita, sarva karana karanam, Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha Anadi Radhir Govindam Sarva Karana Karanam Govinda Madi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. I worship Govinda because he's the cause, he's causing everything. Not a blade of grass moves. So this is the cause. So then we see this word Mukha Chandra, then it catches our intelligence. We think, oh, why this person chose this word? So this is what we understand. So why is Krishna? Because we've heard Krishna called Shama Chandra, Krishna Chandra. Everyone's heard Krishna Chandra, Shama Chandra. And then we've heard Gora Chandra. These are very common names that we've heard. Nitai Chand, Gora Chand. But this is a special... So why is Krishna called Mukha Chandra? His face, his mouth, Krishna's beautiful lotus, his beautiful face and lotus mouth are being compared to a moon. So what is in the Krishna's face that is connected to the moon? What is the relationship between Chandra and Mukha? Because the words are together. He's Mukha Chandra Krishna. So why? What is the connection? Mukha means his mouth. So now the intelligent devotee might ask, what is the connection between Krishna's mouth, Mukha, or Mukha, face, and the moon? And that's what commentators do and philosophers do. So we're devotees, we're philosophers, and we want to understand more deeply and appreciate the rasas and the feelings and emotions behind the verses. This is why we have something called rasa tattva. Rasa tattva, it's an analysis of the feelings in the language. There are feelings and emotions in the language of Sanskrit, Bengali, whatever language. So when we read a verse, although we're not learned and we don't know any Sanskrit or these things, but we have some basic understanding and we can pray to Krishna and Guru and Radharani and the author of the book, Prabodhananda Saraswati Tungavidya, or Shukadeva Goswami, or Vyasadeva, or Rupa Goswami, or Raghunath Das Goswami. Please reveal the sweetness and so many depths that are here in this verse. So we thought that it's clear that, okay, there's a special characteristic of the moon in the sky. What does the moon in the sky do? It drops nectar. Nectar comes from the moon. The moonshine is actually nectar, amrit. Nectar, the word udgirna, mukha chandra, priyatam mukha chandra udgirna. That priyatam sham, his mouth is a moon. And from the moon of Krishna's mouth, udgirna, nectar is dripping out. Udgirna means to come out. So from the moon, the full moon, all these nectar is dropping and falling. And this is understood in Indian subcontinent and all the so many writings and poems and songs about the nectar of the moon and the moon rays. And everyone knows that the full moon, that nectar, those rays of the moon are full of nectar. And they have effect. They have some prabhav. You stand in the moon rays, it has an effect on our mind and heart. Even the Greeks, Latin people and Italian people, Greeks thousands of years ago, they understood that some human beings, when they see the full moon, they go a little crazy. And they wrote, because in Latin, the word for loon is called luna. Moon means luna. L-U-N-A, luna. You've heard of solar and lunar? Lunar calendar and solar calendar? So the word that they use when some man looks at the moon, on the full moon, and that nectar, those nectar-filled rays fall on his brain and face and eyes, he may become a little pagal, crazy. And the word is lunatic. He's a lunatic, means he's cracked. He's crazy. So this is solid proof from the material realm that the moon drips Amrit, Girna, comes from the moon. So now transcendentalizing the analogy that Krishna's face, Sham Sundar Priyatam Sham, is Mukha Chandra Girna. And what's coming out of his what's coming out of his mouth is Tambul, the Tambul Kandam, the pack of his Tambul, which is Kanda means pack, small parcel, little package of Tambul. But it's also packed with Krishna's ras, the ras from Krishna. So in India and in all the poetry and writings, they understand this principle. So therefore, on Sharadiya Rasa Purnima, which was an Ashwin Maina, a previous Purnima, it's called Sharadiya Purnima, Maharas dance. Everywhere it's understood in India since time immemorial that there's nectar dropping from the moon, especially on Sharadiya Purnima, which is the full moon night of autumn season. Basically, it's a full moon night of autumn. There'll be a full moon in 2 weeks. So that's also autumn mixed with some Hemanta, pre-winter. But this moonshine, this full moon in September, end of September, October, that just passed, That was the Maharasa Purnima full moon. So that they say in Indian writings and Puranas that the nectar is falling from the moon, and therefore everywhere that people even know, they used to know that we'll prepare sweet rice for our Thakurji, for our Kula Devata, for our Gar Thakur, or for our temple deity or whomever, our personal deity. We'll put it up on a roof or out in the yard or somewhere where it'll be exposed to the full moon rays. And then all that nectar from those rays will go inside that kheer, that what we call sweet rice. And it will become surcharged with the ras, chandra ras, the rasamrit from the Sharadiya Purnima rays. And in fact, it does. It gets charged up. Even if you put the sweet rice on your roof in Moscow, or Berlin, or Beijing, or anywhere, New York City or Los Angeles, we're in Los Angeles, a stinky, crowded city, and we put this huge pot of sweet rice on the roof on Sharad Purnima, as Prabhupada instructed us to do, all the temples. When he was here, and then we offer Rukmini, Dwarkadish, and Radha and Krishna in their form. They take that boga, kheer boga, and the next day all the bhaktas take it. It is indescribable, unbelievable. It's the maha of all mahas. So this is Krishna's remnants, his mukha chandra, his moon-like face. So what is the nectar coming out of Krishna's face? The moon has this nectar which makes some people go crazy, makes some people become very romantic, and turns sweet rice and kheer into nectar. Has many different effects, the moon rays. It's very soothing and stimulating to the mind. What to speak of because the mind has water inside, cerebral spinal fluid, and all kinds of lymph. And the moon is a powerful planet to influence bodies of water. So when there's a full moon, we get the highest tides in the bay and the oceans. And the tide is the highest. The waves crash the highest. The waves are the biggest on the full moon day. This is observable by anyone who lives in the seashore. They know very well. So this is the nature. So the full moon shines on our head and all those fluids and brain fluids, and these waves start coming. Waves start going in our brain, and if we're lusty, those waves are saying, wow, man, woman, romance. Oh, what a romantic night. Oh, yes. Whatever. Maya. M for moonshine, M for Maya. Or it can be, what a wonderful night for Giriraj Prikama. You have full moon Prikama, and everyone's in such a happy mood. The human health, the health of this human body is always greatest in Shukla Paksha. This is a given fact understood in Ayurveda. From Amavasya to Purnima, people get stronger. And then from Purnima, when the moon gets weak, people get... So Amavasya is today. This is your downtime. This is your weak time. You're not getting any moonshine. Moon is for the mind. So if your mind is down, you're down. The moon is the most influential planet on the human being. That's why the whole Vedic astrology is calculated from the position of the moon. Lagna. Because the moon is the closest planet. The Western upside-down understanding of ancient Indian astrology is called sidereal. It's sun-based. By the sun. But the sun is so far, it has very little influence on the earth. Or the humans on the earth. I mean, influence, we need the sun. But influence on human beings, the moon is big time. Very clear. So back to Mukha Chandra Priyatam Sham Sundar. So what's coming out of his mouth? Mukha Chandra Girna, this nectar. Tambul Kandam Amritam, Prem Amritam. The Prem Amritam of Krishna's prasadi tambul is mixed with his love-drenched saliva. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna's love-drenched saliva is called Krishna Fenila. Phenila. Krishna Fenila. Or it's called Krishna Adara Amritam. Adara means his lips. Why are Jagannath's lips red? Because he's Krishna. He's Shyamasundara. They're red because he kisses Krishna Radharani. They're red because he chews tambul. And they're red because he just passed a tambul from his mouth to Radharani's mouth. And on the way out, it painted his lips red. Yeah. This is Jagannath. Brajendranandan Shyamasundara ki jai. One of the names for Jagannath is Raktadhara. Raktadhara. Kalo. They also call him Kalo or Kaliya in Oriya. They say Kaliya or Kalo. Kalo means you black fellow. Kaliya means you black person. Kaliya, like Kaliya. Kali Yuga. Kaliya. Kaliya is Oriyan. Raktadhara. So this is Krishna. His lips are like so beautiful. So this is the... So rasa, as rasa is dripping, rasa is dripping from the full moon on Purnima, then rasa is dripping from Krishna's mouth. Now what happens? What happens to that? We see that this nectar pack, that Sham is kissing that nectar pack into Radharani's mouth, her beautiful lotus mouth. From Mukha Chandra Krishna, that Mahaprasadi Pan is going into the mouth of Chandramukhi Radha. Chandramukhi Radha. And then what happens? What is the effect? What is the effect? Because we looked at this verse, who, Radha and Krishna, what, tambul seva, in what situation. Now, what happens with that object of seva? Krishna's enjoying it and gives it to Radharani. What effect does it have on Krishna? He's chewing it and now Radharani receives that Mahaprasada of Krishna. Like we receive Mahaprasadam, what effect does it have on us? We feel good? We feel happy? I think so. But anyway, it has some effect, definitely. What to speak of the pavitram, prabhav, purifying effect, but and elevating and attaching us to Krishna. But it can have different experiences. So now the Sripad is watching. This is like a movie. Like you see a movie, there's scene one. You see someone's holding a gun, and that's in the camera, and he shoots. The next scene, the next camera is on the, where he shoots it. Where did he shoot it? Who did he shoot? Then the camera two turns on the person he shot. And then the person gets hit and falls. And then the camera goes back to the other person. He's smiling, ha, I finished you, or whatever. You know, there's some violence movie. So the cameras are just, they're taking us, from our mind and hearts, from scene to scene. So the verses are online. They're taking us from scene to scene. Okay, Krishna's passing his temple to Radharani. So the camera's on Krishna, and it's coming from his mouth. And then Radharani's receiving. Now what happens to Radharani when she receives it? It says, Ganapulaka Kapola Swadayanti. Swadayanti. The translation says that Radharani, she's Swadayanti. Swadana means to taste. She's tasting that. And as she tastes Krishna's Mahaprasadam, then her kapolam becomes adorned and decorated with tiny bumps of bliss, thrill bumps of ecstasy. So this is the effect. So imagine Sripad is offered this tumble. He's prepared this tumble. So when you do some seva, you want to see, what is the result of my seva? What is the effect of my seva? Sometimes devotees often ask the question, how do I know that Krishna accepted my seva? How do I know that Guru accepted my seva? How do I know that Krishna is pleased with my seva? So here in this verse, you may be, Sripad made the tumble. So he may have the same question. He's also a devotee, a pure devotee and prema. I prepared this tumble bhatika. How do I know that Krishna accepted it? Well, I'm seeing with my eyes, he's chewing it. He's accepted it from the hand of Lalita, or maybe from my hand. And he's chewing it, and he's smiling, he's looking at me, and he's appreciating it. It's clear. It's lila. I'm in the lila. I'm in my srupa vesh, my meditation. So it's clear. Yes, Krishna. So now what's happening to my tumble? Now he's offering his prasadi tumble to Radharani. Oh, I can't imagine. Radharani's going to receive the tumble that I made. Now how will Radharani respond? So then you'll see, she responds. She's in bliss. Her heart, she's feeling ecstatic symptoms. These astik sattvic bhavs. Romancha kampa pulaka. Hair standing on end. Trembling, perspiring. Skin tone changing color from golden to gold. Radharani is Gora, but then she becomes Gora Rakta. Gora Rakta means her naturally golden complexion becomes reddish gold because the excitement of her heart, the sattva. Sattva means existence. So sattvic vikaras means transformation of ashta sattvic vikaras. Vikara means transformation. There's eight transformations of our existence, sattva. Sometimes they say sattvic, but it's sattva. Sattva means existence in Sanskrit, sattva. So it's sattva, we can say it's transformations and pure goodness, but it's actually her existence. There's a transformation of Radharani's love, and it is expressed through her complexion, through her hair, through her skin, everything. So you're thinking, wow, Radharani really accepted my seva. She's really had an amazing, my seva had an amazing effect. That Gana Pulaka Kapola Swadayanti, the Radharani's chewing that, and her cheeks are exploding with thrill bumps of joy, ripplings of ecstasy. So just imagine the beauty of Kishori's cheeks at this time. Some little tiny bumps, and her eyes are so happy. This is what meditation means. This is one verse, a few small scenes from the Nitya Leela of Radha and Krishna. These are scenes. The setting is there, the scene is there. So verses, because we don't have movies, we're used to watching everything in movies and on telephone. So it's very difficult to meditate because everything is spoon-fed to us. The motions, the movements, the exchanges. We sit there maybe laugh or smile. We don't have to deeply enter into those movies with our mind and heart as a sadhana, as a practice. But this is what it means, absorption and meditation. In smaran, there's five levels of smaran. And Raghunuga Bhakti is called Smarana Anga Bhakti. Smarana Anga. There's nine limbs of devotion. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam. So there's nine limbs. Anga. So Anga means limbs. Bhakti Anga. Nava Anga. Nava Vida Bhakti. Hearing, chanting, remembering. So Raghunuga Bhakti is especially Smarana Anga Bhajan. It's a bhajan, worshipping of Radha and Krishna, which is based on memory, thinking, meditation. And there's five stages of meditation. One is simple smaran, trying to remember, trying to think about it. And then goes on to dhyana and dhruvana smriti and finally samadhi. But those progressive stages of smaran, they're parallel to the advancement of our own consciousness. We can't have samadhi and smaran until our consciousness comes, until we rise to the stage of bhava bhakti. So that's a long way, because we're in anartha nivritti and we're in nishtha, ruchi, wherever we may be. So, but we practice. First level is smaran, trying to remember, trying to enter. So I'm giving different ideas and approaches to that for we that aren't at that level. So this... So imagine the beauty of Kishori's cheeks. Now, when I saw this word kapola, then I remembered the fourth canto of Bhagavatam. In the fourth canto of Bhagavatam, there's a story of Dhruva Maharaj. And Dhruva Maharaj was doing meditation and so many austerities in Dhruva Tila, which is in Madhavan. Madhavan is one of the forests. I think it's Madhavan. Madhavan forest. In the 12 forests of Braj, he was doing meditation on Vishnu in the heart. And then Vishnu came out and he saw him. He gave darshan. Dhruva had darshan. When did Dhruva have darshan? When did Dhruva's austerities, he performed intense austerities that are described in the fourth canto for 6 months. 6 months, he became so austere and so renounced that he stopped the whole breathing of the universe. March, April, May, June, July, August, September, July, August, September, October, November. May, June, July, August, September, October. So he started his austerities in May. May, June, July, August, September, October. That was 6 months. At the end of 6 months, he got the fruition or the fruit of his bhajan. Where did he get the fruit of that bhajan? Where did he realize success in his bhajan attempts? In Vrindavan, Madhavan, Brajavasisthale. Rupa Goswami says one of the five most important factors to attain prema is Brajavas, Mathura Mandala Stale, to live in Brajamandala. 24/7 or as much as we can, 1 month, 2 months a year, as much as we can. So he lived, he came to Braj knowing that, the power of Brajadam, and he did his tapasyan austerity, a previous yuga, Dhruva Maharaj. And 6 months, but he got his reward, he got his success. In what month? In Kartik. In Radharani's month. Kartiki Devi, Rupa Goswami describes in Savamala, in two places, that Radharani is known as Kartiki Devi, Kartik Devi. She's the goddess, the queen, the empress of Kartik month, or Jayashri Radha. So he got success in his bhajan and Kartik. In Kartik month, Dhruva was given the darshan of his Ishtadevata. So in Kartik month, we should get the darshan of Radha and Krishna. Because this is the power of Kartik. This is the power of the month. That's why I'm saying this. So in Kartik month, in Brajadam, in Madhavan, Dhruva had darshan of Chaturbhuj Narayan. And he was folding his hands. Narayan, Dhruva was saying, Narayan. He was stunned It was Saptik Bhav, Saptik Vikar, Stamba. He was stunned. His voice was Udgirna, Udgirna. This means choked up. Gadgara, Gadgara, Udgirna, choked up. Nothing was coming out. And he wanted to speak something. So the Bhagavatam, fourth canto, describes that Vishnu took his shank, his conch shell. Shanka Kapola Sparshanam. Shanka Kapola Sparshanam. Vishnu touched the cheek. Kapola means cheek. He touched the cheek. This is cheek. He touched the cheek of Dhruva with his conch. And immediately, the ocean of knowledge manifested. Because when you put the conch to your ear, the conch comes from the ocean. Krishna's shank. Panchajanya. Panchajanya is a shank that Krishna got when he killed the Panchajanya demon. So when you put the conch shell to your ear and put your ear inside the hole in this conch shell, you can hear the waves of the ocean. Woo, 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 woo. This is the sound. So when that conch touched the cheek of Dhruva, Vishnu's shank, then Dhruva became filled with the ocean of knowledge represented by that shank. And then he could utter Dhruva Stuti. Dhruva Stuti means the prayers by Dhruva in the fourth canto of Bhagavatam. So now, this verse is also saying, Gana Pulaka Kapola Swaryanti Marasya. That Radharani, her kapola, now I'm comparing the two kapolas. The cheek of Dhruva was touched by Vishnu's conch shell and he uttered prayers. But the cheek of Radharani was touched by Krishna's pan prasad. By Priyatam Mukachandra's prasadi pan. Priyatam Mukachandra, prasadi pan. Radharani Girna, she accepted it in her Chandramukhi. And then what happened? Did she start offering prayers? Oh Krishna, oh Priyatam. No, she exploded in ecstatic bliss. And all over her cheeks, little bumps of joy sprung up. This is the Pulaka Kapola. And the last point we'll close today, we'll continue tomorrow. That I saw something here that maybe it's very nice, because this is Sanskrit and this is Malini meter. Nulita Navalavagon. Navi Lulita Nava Lavang Udhara Karpura Puram Priyatama Mukachandra Girna Tambula Kandam Ganapulaka Kapola Swadayanti Madasier Arpayatu Kimapi Dasi Vatsala Karhi Radha. This is called Malini meter. Many of the Ashtakams, Ashtakams, Radhika Ashtakam, many Ashtakams that are in this songbooks in English, they're of Malini meter. By Rupa Goswami, Krishna's Kaviraj is called Mal. Da 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 da, like this. So this verse has meter, but has the music of the language, the music of Sanskrit. So look at these two words. Ganapulaka Kapola. So I just saw this before class. I said, look at this word. Because if you take the word Kapola, Kapola. Kapola means cheek. So kapola, kapola, pulaka. Kapola, pulaka. So if you take kapola and make it reverse, you take the same syllables of kapola and say pulaka. You follow? So this is Prabodhananda Saraswati. This is Sripad's kavi daksha. His expertise in poetry. He says that Radharani's Pulaka Kapola. I think even all of us sitting here can appreciate the music. Pulaka Kapola. Pulaka Kapola. This is Sanskrit poetry. So that little appreciation I want to share with you, that obviously he's doing that, and that language is like that. The Sanskrit poets, they put so much music, feeling, rasa in their language. And that's why these books are oceanic. They're oceans of rasa, they're oceans of bliss, they're oceans of satisfaction. So the more we read them and study them, the more bliss we'll feel, and the more satisfied we'll be. Shri Radharasura Nidhi Ki Jai. Jai Jai Shri Radhe, Jai Jai Shri Radhe, Jai Jai Shri Radhe. Prabodhananda Saraswati Pada Ki Jai, Shri Kartik Devi Radharani Ki Jai, Shyama Gunradha Kundira Govardhana Ki Jai.